matters most, 50 days of love. And the ultimate test of love is forgiveness. And the verse we're looking at this morning is there at the top of your notes, 1 Corinthians 13. We've been speaking through this for a few weeks now. And we come to verse 5 here. It says, love does not keep a record of wrongs that others do. Can you read that with me? Love doesn't keep a record of wrong that others do. It doesn't keep a record. In fact, part of 1 Corinthians 13 says, love believes the best. I remember reading one marriage book, and they took a survey, and they said, the best marriages are those that the husband and wife believe the best about each other, even when that best is totally not true, but they continue to still believe the best in spite of what's happened. Isn't that sweet? So that's what love does. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs that others do. And then the sentence underneath that in your notes says, the truth here is the ultimate test of love happens when someone hurts you. The ultimate test of love happens when someone hurts you. So I've invited Angie and Lisa to come on up here this morning, and they're going to share with you on the ultimate test of love in the area of forgiveness. The ultimate test of love happens when someone hurts you. Are you fighting over tissues? Okay. These are sisters, so I'm just trying to make it clear that they're not wrestling on the floor in front of the church over a box of tissues. So this is Angie, and this is Lisa, and we're glad that they're talking to us this morning.
Well, good morning again. For those that don't know my name, I am Lisa Gottschalk, and I have been attending Friendship now for almost 10 years. Came here big pregnant with my son Cameron, and that was after my sister had been trying to get me to go to church for a long time. She received something before I did and was trying to knock at me. But by the grace of God, I did find Friendship here. And Pastor has talked, asked us to talk on the ultimate test of love, and what that is forgiveness. And sometimes it's forgiving ourselves. Sometimes it's another person. But as the screen says up there, the ultimate test of love happens when someone hurts you. That was tough to start with. So Angie and my family and I have endured some of the ultimate test of pain, a pain that no one should ever have to endure. And we grew up in a little town in North Carolina. We had a very nice dysfunctional family. When we grew up, we thought it was great. Looking back at it now, how dysfunctional we were. But we did have a loving family, and we had a mom and dad that were married and that were together, and that did try to fight. They were fighting it out. But on June 13, 2004, our lives changed forever. My parents were in an argument, and during that argument, there was a gun involved. Only God knows what happened that day. I can only tell you what I think to know. So what I do know is that there was a wrestle between the gun. The gun went off and shot my mom in the face. The bullet never exited, and she died almost instantly. So my father is the one that was the only one there, and he's the one that has to live with that face of hers, because he's the one that's seen it, so he knows exactly what happened. But I'll never forget that phone call from my brother telling me that mom and dad had been in a fight and mom was shot. I automatically thought like in the leg or something silly. And he said, no, she's dead. She's not here anymore. So I remember driving to the scene, just frantic. My father was being put into a cop car. And I remember the details like it was yesterday. I couldn't leave that property that night until her body was removed. I had to stay. I had to stay knowing that she... So she finally, it was nights. I mean, because again, she was dead when they got there. They didn't take her body away. They did their investigation. So it was hours that she left there. So as we stood outside together and just waiting for, you know, hoping that something miraculously was going to happen, and you know, the nightmare would have come to an end, they removed her body. My father was gone to jail. And in that moment, both of my parents were gone. My dad was sentenced to 15 years. He did 5 in and 10 out, 5 years in prison, 10 years probation. But on that day, losing both of our parents was devastating. I myself didn't know how to handle a tragic like this. So I also lost my best friend, which was my mom. My sister was a little closer to my dad. My mom was my best friend, and she was gone. So I had to figure out how to deal with life. We didn't have children yet. I was 23. Angie, I think, was 20. So we didn't have any children yet, by the grace of God. I remember the biggest emotion is, how am I going to forgive him? How am I ever going to make it through this? This wasn't something that was easy. It was not something that was going to be just, okay, you're forgiven and it's all done. This was something that would take years. And it was, I know God was in our life and working all the way. He planted seeds and different things that brought us closer to God. But in that moment, I know that I turned from God and I ran. And Angie, she started attending church. And I said, nope, not for me. I will not. I'll enjoy my Sundays laying in bed. And so I continued on the crazy cycle of destruction. Drugs, drinking, took my life with numbness. During the dark days of my life, like I said, I had met Terry McArdle at a candle party, big and pregnant. She invited me here. I started in a small group, and again, guys, this is why I like to stress on small groups so much, because if it wasn't for that time talking with Cindy, talking with Melissa, talking it out, I would have never been able to receive God's love. And I realized that it wasn't my job to judge my dad, and that the Bible has many people that were murderers, and he's called the unequipped. So I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision whether I was going to love my dad, or was I going to choose to actually lose them both in one day and not have him in my life. So in order to truly forgive my dad, I had to receive Christ's love. I had to receive his love for me. I had to love myself. And once I received Christ's love, I realized that, how can I have Christ's love and Christ love me for what I did? But he loves my dad just as much as he loves me. He doesn't love me any different than he loves him. No matter what he's done, no matter what you have done, God doesn't love either one of us any more or any different. In Colossians 3:13, it says, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. But how do I do that, right? How does someone forgive that? Someone that took my mommy. So I started praying for my dad. I started on just, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And it broke my heart for him. To imagine what he has to see on an every day-to-day basis. To know that he is never going to be able to unlive that day. Now today, my dad is still not the person I would want him to be. I really hoped that he would come out and things would be changed and he would be a different person. So even in the hurt, even in the deepest hurts, I had to forgive him, even though he really didn't make a huge change in himself. And my dad has never forgiven himself, and he's still on a road to destruction. So I'm here to tell you right now, whether it's a friend that has hurt you, whether it's a family member, a husband, a wife, a child, I'm here to tell you that you're not going to be able to get healed until you forgive that person. And it's okay, no matter what they've done. Because if we can forgive this, if we can forgive this ultimate hurt and pain, there's nothing that's unforgivable. So I just want to leave you with Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as through Christ has forgiven you.
How about that?
Okay.
So my name is Angie, and I do not like speaking in front of everyone. So I have written mine down, and I have titled it God's Love Forgives, My Journey to Forgiveness. Some stuff is a little bit what she said, but we wrote it separately. So this is a super big topic. As you've heard, my siblings and I have been through a lot. I'm the youngest of five. There's five of us total. 1 Corinthians 13:2 comes to mind. If I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would have nothing. After June 13, 2004, the tragic passing of our mother, who was only 45 years old, I was in total disbelief and shock. I kept saying to myself, my father just shot my mom. Over and over, I kept thinking that. My father just shot my mom. I thought my life and future I see my life and future crumble in front of my eyes. What am I going to do? I just turned 20 3 months before that. My mom was so loving and caring, has died. My dad's going to jail. I felt lost. Not even a year later, I got pregnant. I was scared. How was I going to raise a child with no parents to help me? I started to think about stuff differently. I didn't know what to do or how to feel. I felt numb inside for a really long time. I thought about all the things my mom would be missing out on, and it's my dad's fault. There was much more I needed to forgive my dad that came after he pulled that trigger. How was I supposed to forgive him for taking our kid's grandmother, taking my sister's best friend, taking my aunt's and uncle's sister, and the list goes on and on of the difficult ways it affected us and others. But deep down, the memories of our mom and our aunt taking us to church and always listening to Christian music, I did know God was the truth and the light. I was in survival mode. I didn't know what to do, but I did know I couldn't go wrong with God. So I started to force myself to listen to Christian music and sermons on the radio. Most of the time, I didn't want to, but I knew it was good for my soul. For at least 3 years, I kept forcing myself to be around God, His Word, listens to sermons online. I struggled with my humanness so much because I didn't want to do that stuff, but I knew it was good for me. During that time, Psalms 119:105 stuck in my mind. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. The pain was so bad, I had to try something. And it kept coming to my mind like God whispering to me, I am the truth and the light. I realized God was the only one that could help me deal with anger, sadness, hatred, all the emotions that came from this, regret not from knowing how to save my mom, anxiety, sorrow. Through listening to sermons while driving at home, whenever possible, Bible studies, I wanted to see people in the world like God did. I asked God to break my heart for what breaks His. I would pray during that time in my heart, I felt God saying, I love your dad, Steve, as much as you. At the end of the day, you're no better than him. God loves him, and it's not my place to judge him. So I forgave him for all he has done. the love of God in my life made it possible for me to forgive our Father. Our Father has to live with this every day as well. Forgiving my dad for taking our mom's life was not for him, it was for me. Our Father still to this day lives a life of destruction. He is stuck in addiction, and he still never forgives himself. But I've learned through God to forgive and have healthy boundaries. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Matthew 18:21, 22, then Peter came to Jesus, asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brothers and sisters who sin against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered and told me, not seven times, but 77 times. What I would like for you to take from our story is God is love, and his love forgives all.
Let's pray for a minute. God, I thank you for these two girls coming up here today. And Lord, I pray for their dad, that even right now you'll do a Holy Spirit pull on his heart and say, Dad. And thank you, God, that you're the one who does heal the deepest heart aches, the deepest wounds, that you're the God who loves. And thank you that you're healing and you're working in Lisa and Angie's hearts and their families. Continue your work of grace, oh God. Amen.
I just want to say one more thing. If my dad ever decides, if he ever gets a chance to look at this video, I just wanted him to know that he is loved and that he's cared for and that he is a prince of the Almighty King, and it's okay, and I love you.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's not normal church, is it? Aren't you glad? Well, I want to take a few minutes to just talk about forgiveness. And here's a forgiveness quiz, just what you wanted, right? Go to church and have a quiz. Number one, a person should not be forgiven until he asks for it. Believe it or not, I've heard some of you say this to me. I can't forgive them. Why? Because they haven't asked for it. And I said, what? Where'd you get that from? Let me warn you, there's so much bad teaching on the radio, on television, online, Christian books. Be very careful when you hear something that you say, that just doesn't sound true. Do you have a truth detector? If you have Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and you can talk to God and say, God, is that really true? Well, it is false. Number two, forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain caused. It's false. So I got to minimize the, and you know what? And then we lie and say, oh, that didn't hurt that much. I forgive you. How many times have you and I said I forgive you right away because we know we're supposed to, but later on we realize that we really didn't forgive, but we just said I forgive you to get out of the room. I'm telling the truth, isn't it? I forgive you. Right? Number three, forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. False. But we have some bad teaching on this one too. Because sometimes a relationship is not to be reunited the way it was. Sometimes I am not just to take the person's word and start trusting them when they're an habitual, pathological liar. Okay? True? Is that true? Okay, so forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. Well, I wish that were true, and sometimes it can be true, but a lot of times it's not. That's just how life is. You haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. Here's another thing that's not true. It's not true. When someone says, well, you really haven't forgiven me because you haven't forgotten what I've done. Well, how many of us had trouble with our memories? Yeah. But you know what's, I don't have trouble with my memory too much? It's deep hurts. Okay? Those deep hurts, they hurt and they scar. And through the grace of God, there's forgiveness and there's healing, but there's still scar tissue, right? So to say, well, you know, you shouldn't be bringing it up. And if you're in a relationship where the person's not a Christian, tough stuff, because they don't have the grace of God that they need. But you and I have the power through the grace of God to say, though I haven't forgotten it, I still forgive. Though I still can remember and the memory of it still hurts, I'm not going to go back to that memory. This is what a lot of people do in arguments and in discussions that get very heated, which they say wouldn't be arguments, but they really are. It's amazing how we go back to the past and bring up stuff that's forgiven. And it's brought back up, and that's so wrong and so hurtful. And that's something where you and I, if we are Christians and we truly have the Holy Spirit of God in us, where we surrender to Him and we get His grace to deal with it. And the last one, number five. When I see someone hurt, it is my duty to forgive the offender. They're all false. Sometimes I'll hear people saying something like, oh, wow, did you see what happened? Well, I forgive them. I said, wait a minute. It wasn't you that had the offense against. It was that person. Yeah, I know, but I still forgive them. Well, that's not your business. That's their business. Okay, now you hear some wrong teaching on this stuff, so I just want to put it right. Sometimes a person says, well, you're forgiving them, haven't you? And if you're involved with a Christian and you're trying to help that Christian, you know you have to walk through things. How many of us know that sometimes forgiveness doesn't happen in 20 seconds? Okay. Now, deep, genuine forgiveness is very, very needed. But sometimes it takes a while. And we have to go through the process of saying, okay, I have to be dead dog honest. Am I really going to God? Because the word forgive means to let go. Am I willing to let go? Not bring it up. Happened 12 years ago. Happened 12 days ago. I don't bring it up. I've forgiven. God's taken care of it. So let me just talk about these things briefly with you this morning. What forgiveness is not. What forgiveness is not. Number one, it isn't conditional. I'll forgive you if blank, 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 blank. No. Forgiveness isn't conditional. If it's the forgiveness of God, Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. I used to get upset about that line in the Bible sometimes when I was younger. What do you mean they don't know what they do? They know what they're doing. They're killing Jesus. They're driving nails through his hands and feet. They know what they're doing. Well, the truth of the matter is that I was the one behind that hammer, not just the Roman soldiers. I was the one that Jesus was dying for on that cross. That's the truth, that you and I are the ones that nailed him to the cross, not the Romans. The Roman soldiers didn't take Jesus' life. Jesus gave up his own life, didn't he? It wasn't the power of Rome that killed Jesus. Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've come to die for sin. What forgiveness is not, number two, forgiveness doesn't minimize the seriousness of the offense. So someone does something wrong. Say I do something wrong to my wife, and she struggles to forgive me. And I look at her and I say, Terry, you have to forgive me. You're a Christian. Can I tell you that that's not the best way to work a relationship? You have to forgive me. No. Forgiveness does not minimize the seriousness of the offense. Some of us know that in marriage discussions, we don't say, you always or you never. How many of you are learning that? You always do this. You never do that. Okay. We're also learning to say things like, not, you were really an idiot on how you just said that. That's not a good way to start a healing conversation. Are you with me on that one? The better way to say it is, I was really hurt by what you just said. I'm not attacking. I know you think I'm Dr. Philip here, right? I know. But the better way to talk about it is to say from your own hurt, not saying to them, you know, you're a real creep to say what you just said. But to have healing in the relationship. It doesn't minimize the seriousness of the offense. And listen, this is what's important. It may not be important to you or to me, but if it's important to the other person, guess what? It's important. But we say this, some of us say this, oh, you're so sensitive. Well, the truth is, we all have sensitive areas. True? Okay, so maybe my sensitivity is different than my wife's sensitivity. And maybe that means I need to practice what the Bible says in Philippians 2, to prefer others above myself. Maybe that's why it's so important for me to walk with Christ, so I value other people over valuing myself. Number three, what forgiveness is not. It doesn't resume a relationship without changes. Okay, this is important. A lot of people think, well, you know what? We give and forget and don't bring it ever back up and you've forgotten about it and now I can reestablish the relationship. We talked about this a little bit in our quiz. No, a lot of times there needs to be some changes. And if the relationship's going to be healthy and strong, as a Christian, you and I need to accept our part of the blame and be accountable before God to have those changes happen. You say, well, I would have a great marriage if so-and-so who I'm married to would get it straight. You know what? It sounds to me like so-and-so is not just the other person. It sounds like it's you too. Number four, it isn't forgetting what happened. We talked about that. Number five, it isn't my right when I wasn't the one who was hurt. It isn't my right when I wasn't the one who was hurt. So what is genuine forgiveness? Number one, it's relinquishing my right to get even. How many of you love getting even? Listen, my brother, if he and I were having a tussle as teenagers, and suppose I got him back, he was 3 years older. Rarely did I ever get him back. But I do remember one time, I don't know how I did it, I flipped him right into the bathtub. I was going to do a lawnmower, but I decided not to. So, if I ever got something on my brother like that, my brother would come up to me and look at me and go, I don't get even, I get ahead. And he would give me the death stare. And I knew I was in trouble. How many of you grew up in that kind of relationship? Okay. So, relinquishing my right to get even. Some of us, and this is, you know, it's funny when you're small doing it. It's not too funny when you're teenagers making holes in walls. That's not too funny. And it's definitely not funny when it's in a marriage relationship and you're not just making holes in the wall, you're making holes in each other's hearts. That's not funny. Relinquishing my right to get even. Forgive me to let go. Romans 12:19 says, never avenge yourselves, leave that to God. Now here's another problem even with that verse. Yeah, God, you'll get him. You can get him much better than I can. I'm leaving it to you. Well, a couple verses later in Romans 12:21, you may want to write that reference down. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil. You say, I can't help it. Well, that's why I have Jesus Christ coming in my life through, and the presence of the Holy Spirit to take off the old man of my selfishness and put on the new man of Jesus Christ. If I don't have that changed life in Christ, then I don't have Jesus. Because Jesus comes in and he begins to change your life. If you don't have that change, you've got dead religion. I was talking to someone earlier in the week, and I said to this person, if you were to die, where would you go? Would you go to heaven? The person said, yes. And I said, well, what would get you into heaven? And the person said, I believe in God. And I had to say, no, that's not going to do it. The devil believes in God and trembles. So often I hear people say, well, I try hard. No, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So, never avenge yourself. Leave that to God. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good through the power of surrendering to the Holy Spirit who lives within you if you're a true follower of Christ. And here's a couple of verses from Hebrews. And sometimes some verses can be a little bit deeper into the need that we have. And I'm going to read Hebrews 12. I'm going to read verse 14 first, and then I'll do 15 on the screen. Hebrews 12. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. You say, well, there's some people I just cannot live in peace with, and I don't even want to try. Make every effort to live in peace and with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. All right. That's putting it there. See to it. Here's the verse on the screen. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. Oh, wait a minute. I have the grace of God. Wait a minute. That ought to be everything in my life. Because that's what empowers me to love people who hurt me a lot. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause you trouble and defile many. I've told you before how I didn't have a relationship with my mother basically till she turned 85. Now she and I talk on the phone and we talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. But it took a long time to have a connection. And you've heard me talk about how as a teenager I struggled because I was moving into that bitter root of hatred towards my mom. And I had to go to God, and God worked in my life as a teenager as I started to read and found that the power of Christ's love was real in my life. And Romans 5:5 became a powerful verse that he has poured his love into my heart through the Holy Spirit who he's given to me. Romans 5:5. And that verse became real because I couldn't love her. But God gave me the power through the Spirit. See, to no one falls short of the grace. The grace was there for me. The grace is there for you. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. I'll tell you right now, if I didn't get victory in loving my mother through those years, my marriage wouldn't be together today, 38 years later. Because the things he was teaching me as a teenager, he was teaching me to be the right kind of husband. And you can talk to my wife later to see what else I need to work on. What is genuine forgiveness? It's responding, number two, responding to evil with good. And you can look those verses up on your own. They were mentioned in the talk that the girls just gave. Number three, it's repeating the process as long as necessary. Repeating the process as long as necessary. And that's the verses that Angie shared from Matthew 28. The rabbis taught that you were supposed to forgive three times. The Jewish rabbis taught. Forgive three times. That's showing, hey, you and I sometimes will forgive a person once, and then if they do it again, guess what? Right? So the rabbi said three times. So Peter thought, I'm going to do the rabbis even better. Lord, should I forgive someone even if it's seven times? I'm really good. And Jesus said, no. 70 times 7. Now that doesn't mean that on your phone you have a counting up, you have an app on forgiveness. I'm up to 730 with this person. What it means is that you forgive and you forgive and you forgive because you have the grace of God to do that. You say, but let's be real. I don't want to. I'm fed up. Now, forgiveness does not mean you enable. This is a problem. Do I have an amen? That doesn't mean we enable. It means there's truth out there that needs to be done, speaking the truth in love. But it means that we don't harbor bitterness because that bitterness, unforgiveness destroys me, or unforgiveness will destroy you. It is the bitterness inside you that is poison that will destroy you. And I've seen it in my life, and you've seen it in your life. People who stop forgiving. I've seen Christians, and all of a sudden you see them a long time later. You hadn't seen them for a long time, and they got involved in a relationship or something happened, and it blew up, and they're full of bitterness. And what they had, a beautiful, seemingly countenance of joy on their face, now they're bitter, and you can see the poison almost coming out of their face. Am I exaggerating? Eats us up. Repeating the process as long as necessary. Jesus says unlimited forgiveness. Doesn't mean there's not consequences. You hearing me? Don't enable. There's consequences. But if you're not bringing it to God, remember, God didn't set you up to be the judge and the jury. He gives you his word, he gives you guidance, and he gives you Christians in the body of Christ so you can go to and get some help. So you can do it the way Jesus wants us to do it. So number three, the secret of forgiveness. This is so simple, isn't it? How can we struggle with this so much, huh? Remember how much you've been forgiven. Yeah. But I don't want to think about that right now. Because this isn't once or twice, Tim. This is more like 70 times 7,000. Okay, just remember how much you've been forgiven. He who is forgiven little loves little. He is forgiven much loves much. We talked about that last week. Colossians 3 says, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ as in Christ God forgave you. Now you may want to put a little note, if you're a note person, put a little note under that. Verse 27 says, don't give the devil a foothold. Now this is huge. If I'm not forgiving, if I'm allowing my anger and unforgiveness to take roots, I am giving Satan a foothold in my life. And let me tell you, I've been close to that in my life at different times. And it is not fun. There's a deliberate choice involved here. Am I going to obey God and get His grace? His grace is infinite. And we have to go and tap into that grace. His grace is there for you. His grace is there for me. We need to tap into it. Would you close your eyes with me, please? Maybe you don't want to think this way this morning, but there may be someone in your life that you're even arguing right now with God or with me, with yourself even, saying, Tim, you don't understand. I don't need to understand. And dear friend, God's grace is infinite. It's something I can't understand. It's infinite, powerful love. It's infinite, powerful grace. Is there someone or something in your life that you have been defeated about, repeatedly been defeated? And you say, today I want to get the grace of God in this area. If that's true about you this morning, eyes are closed, no one's looking, just lift your hand and say, I've got an area like that. I've got an area like that. A lot of us do. Thank you. You can put them down. So you talk to God right now in your heart and thank Him that if you're a true follower of Christ, that you've received Jesus as your Savior, He lives in your life. To thank Him right now for His powerful grace. Thank Him that He has the love and He lives in you. He has the love living in you to love this person. That's what I had to do. I've had to do that in my life more than once. To love when my human love didn't want to love anymore. Father, I pray that that'll be true in our hearts here this morning. That we'll take this choice, make the choice to tap into your infinite loving grace. To be set free from the poison of the bitterness of unforgiveness. Lord, I pray for your powerful work in all our hearts today. And I thank you for your grace that is greater than all my failures. Your grace that is greater than all my weaknesses. I praise you for your loving grace and favor. Help us, Lord, not just to live in this moment, but to continue to live this out daily in our lives. To live it out this afternoon, to live it out tomorrow. And we do love you and we do praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. As you stand, we want to encourage you to grab one of these bags of hope, but also find someone you don't know their name. Go up to them and say, good morning, I'm so-and-so. Introduce yourself to Bags of Hope across the front here. God bless you.
Ooh. I was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever.